With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
We've made it to the night of the NBA Draft. Yes, tonight we get, I guess a lot of the drama is erased already. We know that Ben Simmons is going to go number one. We know that Brandon Ingram is going to go number two. From three all the way down to 30, though, there are some questions, and the NBA trade talk has definitely picked up over the last couple of days. Yesterday, we talked about a couple of major blockbusters, and we're going to talk more about how that could trickle down into free agency and, of course, a little bit about the NBA draft. Joining us right now, great friend of the show. He's the host of the Triple Threat NBA podcast. It's Jabari Davis from BasketballInsiders.com. Jabari, always great to get you on the show. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
You know, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is a big night in the NBA, and I love how the draft comes very quickly following the conclusion of the NBA Finals. We get about a week turnaround, not even a week turnaround, and then boom, the draft is here, and then before we know it, free agency is going to pick up. Yesterday, we talked in depth about the New York Knicks and the trade that they have made for Derrick Rose. I want to start by talking about a trade that didn't happen. And you and I were just talking about this off of the cuff. Yesterday, it was reported that Phoenix had a lot of interest in Gordon Hayward. Now we know, according to Mark Stein of ESPN, that Phoenix actually offered the Jazz Eric Bledsoe and their lottery pick for Gordon Hayward, which the Jazz did not bite on. Instead, they grabbed George Hill for the 12th overall pick. Your thoughts on this?
Well, of course, anytime you have the opportunity to get it, you know, like a high lottery pick, it's something to consider. But I think the fact that Eric Bledsoe is coming off, if I'm not mistaken, his third consecutive at least injury marred season, or three out of four, something of that nature. And that's not a knock against Eric Bledsoe or to take anything away from him, because obviously when he's healthy, he's an incredible talent to have out there on the court. But anytime you're asking a team to trade away individual, obviously I'm speaking of in Hayward, that has been their, you know, quote unquote, you know, franchise guy, and a guy that's been obviously very good for the team over the course of his career. You know, I think you need something a little bit more concrete. And when I say that, I mean a guy that you can rely upon, you know, to be there. I just imagine, like, say you're Dennis Lindsay, and the middle of next season, you know, Eric Bledsoe's down with an injury. All of a sudden, you've got to answer to your dedicated and true fan base. Why did you trade away, Gordon Hayward, and why did you do it for a guy that's not even going to be available for, 30 to 40% of the games? Again, that's not a knock against Eric Bledsoe. It's just it's the risk that's associated with him.
Obviously, what happens tonight, Jabari, is going to have a big effect on free agency. I know we talked a lot about the Knicks and the Bulls trade yesterday on the show. It seems now that a New York marriage between the Knicks and Dwight Howard, it seems inevitable, at least in my mind. A lot of things that we'll see over the next 24 hours will have a heavy impact on free agency.
Yeah, it really will. And it's intriguing to me that, this storyline about Dwight in New York. I do realize that he's wanted to go to that big market for, quite some time. Obviously, it was Brooklyn initially, but, it's not like he's going to, turn down or turn his nose up to the idea of playing at MSG. I get that. I get the appeal. But if you're the Knicks, I want to like the deal yesterday. I want to believe that, Derrick Rose, I think he played 66 games last year. If you can get that out of him, I understand the deal. They've been looking for a point guard for quite some time, and they've had a mixed history of picking up a very good point guard on the second run or second go around. A couple of them, I know it was going around yesterday, kind of making fun of the list, but a couple of them even took him to the playoffs. And if you believe that Derrick Rose can be available for enough of the season, he should be, he alongside obviously Carmelo Anthony and Porzingis would be, should be a playoff team, especially in the Eastern Conference. But when I start to think about Dwight Howard once again, look, this isn't to take nothing away from him, because obviously he can still get it done on the defensive end. He's not quite the athlete athlete that he was prior to the all the different back issues, but he's still a guy that can is very effective. I guess I can say this: if his mindset is in the right place and he's just going to be like, hey, I'm willing to do the dirty work, I'm willing to defend, I'm willing to protect protect at the rim, and obviously you know get in where I fit in from the offensive side of things, then it would be completely fine. I just I'm just never sold on that because we haven't seen it. If it ends up working out that way, that's awesome. I still believe, I've been pounding this drum actually since I saw what took place once he left Orlando. He never should have left a small market like that, even though I know the bright lights in the big city, that's appealing. And New York, I'm not hating on, on Knicks, so Knicks fans don't get upset. I'm just saying I still think Dwight Howard would be better off in a market like Charlotte or Atlanta or somewhere like that for his own benefit.
Yeah, maybe even going back to Orlando. I know that's a possibility as well. I do want to talk about free agency a little bit more for this particular segment because, like I said, the draft has such a direct correlation on free agency. Al Horford is a name. Jabari, you mentioned Atlanta just a second ago. I do not see any way that this guy goes back to Atlanta. In fact, it looks as almost the Hawks are in full rebuild mode. And the recurring theme in my mind for the Atlanta Hawks, and you and I have talked about this before, every free agency, it looks like they're one player away and they're trying to land one big fish. Al Horford, what have you heard? Where might this guy end up? And am I wrong for saying I just don't see him going back to Atlanta?
I don't think you're wrong, but I won't make anything up and say like, oh, well, I haven't heard very much about Al Horford. The one thing that does, I agree with you, it doesn't look like that's going to be a match that's going to continue. I was kind of hesitant to say, they were going to press the reset button. We had heard all of the different rumors about, it's time to officially go with the Dennis Schroeder era. I like the young guy, and I get why they made the Teague deal, but once I saw the Teague deal, it was like, okay, well, yeah, maybe they are ready to finally officially just go ahead and, start from scratch over there in Atlanta. And if that's the case, I understand. But like you said, they always seem to be kind of on the outside looking in, especially in terms of the main free agents that are out there on the market. I guess it's somewhat surprising, even though with Horford there, they haven't had much playoff success beyond, the second round. To me, it's still somewhat surprising that they're not kind of pulling out all stops in order to retain a big name free agent. It's considering the fact that they have so much difficulty bringing him in.
Again, our guest right now is Jabari Davis from BasketballInsiders.com. He's also the host of the Triple Threat podcast. Jabari, you're in Los Angeles. For me, the Lakers have been on the clock since we found out that they had the number 2 pick, because to me, it was always kind of clear cut and dry. Number 1 was going to be Ben Simmons. I like Brandon Ingram a lot. I think you have to take a hard look at Ingram, but I thought that from the beginning, Philly, they would roll with Ben Simmons. Luke Walton just had his press conference just 2 days ago. I thought Luke said a lot of great things. I think he gives a lot of reason for people in LA to be optimistic. If it is Brandon Ingram, I'm sure you've done your homework on him. Tell me why this works for Los Angeles.
It works because he's exactly what the roster needs. He's a guy, with length, with size, the guy that can score from the perimeter, score from kind of, all around the court, a guy that's, very clearly still growing into his body. He's one of those guys that had one of those, relatively late growth spurts or not even relatively late, just like all of the sudden growth spurts. And, at 6'9" and I think, listed somewhere around 190, maybe 195 pounds right now, obviously up about 20 from when he entered Duke as a freshman. I think they said he was listed at around 176 or something of that nature. But anyhow, with that frame and a guy that can continue to grow into it, he's also a guy that on the defensive end, it should translate well. He's kind of an all-around guy. He's a guy that, you can conceivably play right alongside, a Julius Randle, be able to spread the court and open the court a little bit for him, make some of his offensive moves and offensive sets even easier for him. He's a guy that obviously fits, the mold of the types of players, the interchangeable players that you would expect a Luke Walton system to have and need. And you know what? as much as you know, people have been questioning, well, the Lakers have brought in a lot of different people. Is it possible that they have questions? I don't know. I honestly don't think so. I think it's a due diligence type thing, just you know, depending upon if anything were to present itself, you know, for later on in the draft. I think it's pretty clear. Outside of Ben Simmons, whom a lot of people will have a lot of question marks about, I am actually still a very big believer in. I think Brandon Ingram is very clearly the second best player in this draft.
Luke Walton was the hottest free agent. We can't even call him a free agent coach. I guess you could, but he was the hottest name around this offseason. In fact, in the middle of this past season, he became one of the hottest names as far as a possible coach to fill a vacancy this season. What does this do for free agency in L.A., knowing that there's no Kobe Bryant? They have over $60 million in cap space, and now you have a player's coach in Luke Walton.
I think it gives you a real voice in the room. And when I say that, that means no disrespect. I'm not hopping on the same, bandwagon of they had failed pitches. We've heard all of those stories. But at the very least, it gives you somebody with some personality. It gives you somebody that is well-received by the players. It gives you somebody that players have even gone out of their way to mention that they would like to play for. That's never a bad thing. That's absolutely never a bad thing. It also gives you somebody in the room that can give potential free agents a direct vision of how and what is expected, the style of basketball that's going to be played, the expectations that are that would be set. I'm not saying that they didn't necessarily have that with the previous regime, but there were definitely questions about basically you had free agents that were saying they couldn't really describe what my role would be in this offense. They couldn't really describe what the next step looks like for this organization, or what the next step out there from a gameplay standpoint might look like. And the Lakers can come up with all the different excuses that they want. The simple fact is that is how they were being perceived. Now at least it looks as though they have a clear-cut mission, a clear-cut direction. And I'm excited to see what they're able to do this year at the negotiating table.
Last question, obviously, with you working for Basketball Insiders, you'll be putting together, I know, a piece here relatively soon. What's the main storyline that you pay attention to tonight?
I'm intrigued to see how many international players get selected. There's rumors that somewhere in the teens and throughout the 20s, you expect a deep run of international players. But outside of the top guys, all the guys that you guys have already I'm sure you've been discussing all throughout the week on your show. I'm interested in seeing where some guys like Torian Prince and Bryce Johnson and some of those interchangeable forwards, some of those guys that there's a principle for that type of player in this league at this stage. I'm really just interested in seeing where they go, because they're probably going to be there in the late teens and throughout the 20s as well, and which means a really good team like the Spurs and like some of those perennially good teams are going to end up with some of the exact type players that can really make an impact at this level at this time.
Jabari Davis, BasketballInsiders.com and host of the Triple Threat Podcast. Before I let you go, Jabari, let the listeners know where they can find more of you online.
You're the man, Jordan. I always appreciate this opportunity. It's always great to talk hoops with you, especially on a day like today. You can find me on BasketballInsiders.com, as you mentioned. If you do the Twitter thing, you can find me at Jabari Davis NBA.
Fantastic. Jabari, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for the time. Enjoy the draft tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you. You too.
All right. We're going to pause for just a moment. More NBA draft talk when we return here on Drive Time Sports.